Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of All by the Popcorn. I'm Emily.
And I'm Alessandra.
And today, we are talking about the remaining nominated animated feature films for the Oscars. Wolfwalkers, Over the Moon, and a Shaun the Sheep movie, Farmageddon.
Yep, we watched all three of these. And we had already previously watched the other two Oscar-nominated movies, Onward and Soul, that we did podcasts on last year and this year, so go check those out.
But yes, so we had these last three to talk about, all very fun. I'm excited to talk about them with you guys today. Which one do we want to start with? Wolfwalkers was the first one I watched, so I don't know which one.
Yeah, let's talk about Wolfwalkers.
Okay. So Wolfwalkers has the same art director as this other movie that I had watched. It was on Netflix a couple years ago called The Secret of Kells, or mm-hmm. Secret of the Kells. So it has like a very sketchy type of, like a very angular type of art, which I really enjoyed. This was a very beautiful movie. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it a lot. Mm-hmm. I really liked this movie.
It was very beautiful, and I felt like the story, like the kind of fable that it showed us about the wolf walkers living in the woods, and then the new girl Robin and her father becoming wolf walkers as well. It was very dramatic and really intense, and it just felt like so much was going on all the time in this movie, and the animation was incredible. I loved it so much. It was really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I watched this with my friend from work. We both had Apple TV, and we put on at the exact same time and just kind of like had little commentary during it. It was a lot of fun. I kind of felt like some Merida vibes and some even like Tangled vibes, like when when Maeve was either Maeve or the mother was like healing someone. I was like singing Flower Gleam and Glow.
Yeah. That's
like so thinking true. Of Tangled. Yeah. And then just like, you know, the big red hair just like made me think of Merida. And
this takes Ireland. Place in
Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some great Irish accents, but the main character, Robin, she's a British girl. She comes from England.
Yeah. So I guess her and her father had come to this town, I guess, looking for work. I think her mother like passed away or something, or something happened to the mother, and the dad needed work, and he's like a hunter. And this town is infested, but like, you know, they have a wolf problem. There are the wolves are attacking because the townspeople are cutting down the forest where the wolves live, and it's a very like save the forest type of film, you know, like let live in harmony with nature.
Very Princess Mononoke. I got a lot of that.
Very Princess
well.
Mononoke. Oh, so much. Yeah, it was also like, yeah, it was like very intense and very deep, like with finding out that the mother of Maeve was like trapped in a cage with the what's his name, the overlord
the
or something
protector
or the
protector or something the
yeah
lord protector that was
the
one.
Lord protector
yeah
that's his name. very scary dude. Gave me like Radcliffe from Pocahontas vibes.
Oh yeah, totally. He had the same kind of design with like the really big chest and like kind of like square tiny head, you know?
Yeah, and like the very flat wavy hair. I don't know, like whatever Radcliffe has. And oh, the father was voiced by Sean Bean,
Very
and
clearly Sean Bean.
very clearly. And when he like spoilers, when he like almost died at the end, I was like, I'm not surprised. I
I
wouldn't be
mean,
surprised if he
yeah.
died, if his character died,
But also the
knowing Sean
dad,
Bean's track record.
you know, like was he was like frustratingly obtuse with his daughter and like
Oh, so
so,
much.
you know, and so it's like you knew this was going to happen. So it's just kind of like all of these normal kind of tales where the father does not listen to the daughter and then everything goes to shit because of it. But it's also like what, you know, I felt like the plot was really, really good because it was just so, it was moving along so quickly. Like, I just felt like it had no resting beats. It was just completely like so much like information and visual information being shown to you like every second of this movie.
Yeah, I definitely agree, but not to the point where I felt like it was moving too fast or like or like jumping over stuff too quickly. Like it really took its time to kind of lay out each scene to its full potential and like giving you the information you need. Especially with kind of all the moving parts we were dealing with.
Definitely. Yeah. I really like the song in the middle of the movie where Robin becomes a wolf and her and
Yeah.
Maeve, they like run around the forest. I thought that song was excellent. It's like the whole entire song, and just watching them like run around and be wolves was a really great part of the movie.
Yeah, I really like that part.
Yeah, I think that it the songs were by Aurora, which who's like a famous I think she's from Ireland. I could be wrong, but
Did Aurora do the song for Frozen too, or is that someone else?
yeah, that's the one who sang at the Oscars
The
last year as well.
yeah.
Yeah, and she did the
the high pitched part
the height,
where she's
yeah.
like, yeah, she's like, ah, that
Yeah.
one.
That's exactly
Okay.
right. Yeah, I think that that was her like that one beautiful song. I think let me see. There was a lot of songs, but like The Weeknd made some songs too, I think at the end, but Aurora made that Running with the Wolves song. That's the one I'm talking about now, and I really liked it.
Yeah, I really liked the music in this. It was really good.
The actress who played Robin, Honor Neefsee, she on her IMDb, I recognize her as the girl who's the younger sister in the Royal Prince or Prince for Christmas movies on Netflix.
A Christmas Prince?
Christmas Prince, that's right, yes.
Yeah, a Christmas
Yeah,
Prince.
she's like the young girl in that. She's great in those movies. Those movies are terrible, but she's great. So it was great to see her in this. And then the mother, Maria Doyle Kennedy, we had talked about her recently. She is in Downton Abbey, and she was in an Outlander as well, the season or the later seasons of Outlander as his aunt.
Oh, is her name not Maeve? It's Meb.
It's Maeve, but that's how it's spelled in Ireland.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay. I get it.
BH is a V sound in Irish.
Oh,
It's like
okay.
in Gaelic. It's so different. There are some really, really interesting Irish names that you would look at and you're like, I don't know what that's supposed to sound like.
Yeah, I watched an Instagram reel of someone pronouncing like Irish names and showing their spelling, and I was like, I would have never figured that out.
Yeah.
Except for the ones that we obviously knew, like Saoirse,
Yeah. But like
and
we didn't know that for a long time. You know,
yeah, for
like
no, sure.
it's because we
Yeah,
know
I'm I
Saoirse. But
yeah.
yeah, like I really enjoyed the voice acting in this too. I thought it was just, you know, obviously watching the young characters and watching, I think Maeve was such a wonderful foil to Robin, who's a lot more reserved, but she still has her like really kind of like wild, not listening to her father thing going on. So,
I mean, yeah, she starts off the movie, like, really wanting to be like her father and being able to help her father with hunting because she knows it's a hard job. And, you know, she's, like, being cooped up in her house all day. Like, there's definitely, like, you know, little jobs that little girls are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be in school, possibly. I don't know. It didn't seem like there was a school in this. Either the kids were just, like, running around the streets being
bullies, being like they were in the
rabble rousers. Yeah. or the girls like worked as like scullery maids or something.
Yeah.
And then kind of seeing her kind of, so like she already had that personality of, you know, she needs to be out there, she needs to be doing something, she's very active, she's very strong. But then kind of her learning about the Wolf Walkers and then in turn wanting to help them, like her and Maeve had such a great chemistry. Like, they were, the voice acting and, like, the two characters, like, really worked well together. And yeah, I really enjoyed them a lot.
Yeah, they were really cute. And I just love how wild Maeve's, like, character design is as well. Just, like, having that big old hair and then all of those, like, leaves in it. And then she's kind of got just, like, a brown down the center of her face and these, like, bright green eyes. And she's just got such a wonderful character design. I think that like the sketchiness really allows you to kind of feel the animation in a way that is a lot different than like the 3D animated movies that we see. And it's, and I do think that this movie has a good chance of winning the Oscar because of that, because it's just so incredible.
I definitely enjoy seeing movies like this every once in a while. It's a breath of fresh air because, like, yeah, we do see a lot of that super 3D realistic, like, type of stuff that, you know, Disney loves to do right now. And a lot of other production companies like to do. But, like, you know, I just like to see a good, like, quirky, like, sketched out, like, kind of rough looking, kind of, like, gritty, almost dark type of animated feature. Like I really enjoy movies like this. Like I love animation and like all the different ways you can take it, art wise and story wise. Like I've always enjoyed anime. And yeah, this movie I'm really gonna be rooting for it, like hardcore.
Yeah, so like we said, it was just nominated for Best Animated Feature Film. Do you want to look at the plot keywords?
Yes. One thing I did want to mention is I thought it was very interesting that they kind of made the real wolves like a lot more, I don't know, almost scary looking. But then when the humans would turn into wolves, they'd kind of have like very softer, like dog-like features.
And like bigger eyes and stuff.
Yeah, bigger eyes, like softer, like less, not as angular. Or as narrow of a face, it kind of have like a rounder face.
Yeah, really cute. You know,
yeah, very cute. Yeah, yeah. So I found that interesting.
And it says that the actress who played Maeve, Ava Whitaker, she was 8 years old during recording, and it's her very first movie. And honestly, like such good voice acting from Ava
so
Whitaker.
So good,
like excellent. Good job,
like,
Ava.
Excellent voice acting. Oh, man. It was beautiful. It was beautifully done. But yeah, let's look at these plot keywords. We've got friendship, family relationships, wolf, folklore, Irish folklore. That's it. Irish folklore.
Yeah, no wolves, but sure. Okay.
It did say wolf.
Okay.
Yeah. It got it all in there.
It got it in there.
I think that sums it up.
Yeah, I think it does too. Definitely Irish folklore. And I was thinking while I was watching this movie what it would be like to be somebody who believed in the kind of pagan folklore stuff before the Christians kind of came in and fucked everything up. That, like, what if they saw this movie and was just like so in awe about how beautiful it was, like, in just the way it's portrayed and everything. Like, I just think the story is really, really nice. And it's just like something that probably is taken, like it's influenced by Irish folk tales. And it's great. I love it.
Yeah. So good. So good. Let's look at the Metascore for this one.
It's got an 87, a few 100s, pretty nice. The playlist says it's the best animated film of the year.
Whoa.
And philosophically profound and stunningly gorgeous. It's definitely all those things. I think
Let's
the
see if this. I'm gonna go to
Polygon
the
one is
website.
pretty nice. It says every aspect of Wolfwalkers is thoughtfully, beautifully rendered, and the story is full of twists that keeps things unpredictable until the finale. It's one of the most impressive films of the year and the best animated film of 2020 thus far.
Nice. Okay, let's see. I'm gonna read. So it had two mixed reviews. So let's kind of see what really brought it. I guess, I mean, because it probably would have gotten a lot higher if it weren't for both of these. Looks like both of the two mixed reviews gave it a 60. So let's see. They gave it a 60 and said like nothing. Like, how am I supposed to know how you felt? Like, the Guardian gave it a 60 and just said this is a charming and thoroughly likable film. Then why'd you give it a
Well,
60?
that's the blurb that they picked. Like, I don't
I
know
know.
who
I'm not gonna read the
decides
full review.
this.
Let's see. Okay, here we go. The New York Times gave it a 60 as well and said, as much a joy as this movie is to behold, its scenario is more than a little overbaked and overdrawn. I mean, I don't agree.
No, I think it's, I don't think it's contrived. I think it's incredibly beautiful. And even though it's used a lot of the kind of similar themes, possibly, I feel that this one was a lot more, like, I think it definitely deserved to be made and not, and wasn't, you know, I think it had so much beauty in it. The content was the animation as well. So that's why it's worth it.
Yeah. And sometimes I wonder if, you know, if like I wonder if the reason they're calling it overbaked and overdrawn is because maybe they're thinking of it as more of like kids might maybe wouldn't follow this as well, or you know, it maybe they'd get a little lost, but I don't know. I don't like to relate animated movies just to kids. I know that in America they tend to be aimed towards kids, but I don't think that should always be the case. Like, I think an animated movie could definitely be for adults. And that's always been my take on it. That's why I tend to harsh. I tend to be a bit more harsh when it comes to anime movies because I don't see them as just kids' movies. I see them as a movie for me too. And if I don't like it, I don't like it.
So, should we move on to Shaun the Sheep?
Sure.
Okay. A Shaun the Sheep movie, Farmageddon. There's been quite a few Shaun the Sheep movies. I've not seen any of the Shaun the Sheep movies. This is the only one that I've seen.
I don't know. I've definitely seen this character, and has he ever been featured in a like a Wallace and Gromit movie as well? Or no, or are
Possibly.
those two fairly separate?
I think they're different. I think that Wallace and Gromit is in the same universe
Yeah.
or something like that, because we did see them on the TV in the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
But
Yes.
I think it's like kind of the same idea, and it's the I've seen Wallace and Gromit. I remember seeing Wallace and Gromit in the
I've seen
early
a couple Wallace
2000s.
and Gromit films. They're not my favorite, so I don't tend to watch a lot of those, but I have seen a couple. I've probably seen more of the older ones
And
of Wallace
I
and
think
Gromit.
the same people made Chicken Run, which has
Yes.
voice acting in it, and that's a I really like Chicken Run. Chicken Run's great.
I like Chicken Run a lot. Chicken Run's great.
But so this one just is about Sean, who I guess is a he's a preconceived character from other movies, but we get what he's about, and what him and his like whole deal and friends and the farm is about.
Yeah, they're kind of like a group of sheep that are just, they live on this
They're
farm
so
and
cute.
they're really cute. Like all the sheeps have their own little personalities and their own little like shapes and sizes and they're really cute. And they like to have fun. They like to, you know, do stunts and build things and, you know, have a good time. They kind of make me think of like the Phineas and Ferb, like of sheep. And the dog is like Candace, always trying to bust them and like be like, you can't do this. Like the dog in
Oh,
he
so
was really
funny.
good, but he was so annoying. I was like, let them have fun. Like they just sit on a farm all day. Let them have
Yeah,
some
but like
fun.
the dog is supposed to serve the master too, like the farmer.
Yeah.
And so like he wants the farmer to be happy, and he's the one who gets,
He gets in trouble all the time.
Yeah, he's the one who gets in trouble by the farmer. So I think it's just like kind of the funny dynamic between all of the different farm animals and the farmer.
Yeah. So I was surprised at how deep this movie got. Mm-hmm. Like in terms of the plot and everything. I mean, with and how much they were able to portray with really no dialogue. I mean, you heard sounds, you heard like maybe a no or like a ah, like yeah. You heard like things like that, but other than that it was mostly like laughs and just grunts and just various noises, like kind of giving you all of the emotions that you need, and it was very effective in all of it. You could definitely follow along. But yeah, you were totally right. I could not look away for a second or else I would miss something because I couldn't hear anything. I had to take it all in with my eyes.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a really cute story. I never thought a Shaun the Sheep movie would go this far as to like include aliens. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a really cute story.
And like an alien kid as well, who is kind of naive and cute and, that like all the antics that ensue from just having the ability to, you know, levitate things and fly things and just that kind of stuff all kind of made it as fun as possible. And I really liked the Lula, the little the little alien. He was like super super cute, you know. He has a really round features, he kind of looks like a dog. And
yeah,
he's really expressive with his eyebrows and stuff, and just like him with gaining his friendship with Shaun and then trying to figure out how to get Lula back to his family. It was really cute.
Yeah, and I kind of like the underlying message of like, you know, kind of so Shaun starts off the movie, you know, being a little rebellious, you know. He wants to he wants to go sit in the tractor or whatever that like farm machine is, or you know, he wants to order a pizza. He doesn't like boring sheep food. Yeah. Like, you know, he needs some excitement, and the dog is like overly strict. And you know, when Shaun kind of meets this alien who drops down, I don't think he realizes that it's a kid, and neither do we. We kind of learn later that the alien's actually a child.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of learning and doesn't really know right from wrong, or you know, you should do this or you shouldn't do that. And it's like a learning experience for Shaun. Like, Shaun has to take care of this kid and get the kid back to its parents. And then like, even the dog kind of learns, like, you know, maybe I'm being too strict with Shaun, or Shaun needs to be like, okay, maybe I do need to listen to the dog sometimes. Cause sometimes he's not just being an asshole. He's actually like, he has some good points.
Yeah.
And I even kind of liked that like alien chaser lady. Like, yeah. she was kind of creepy
with her backstory too.
Yeah, she had seen the mother and father alien back in the day when she was like a child, and you know, she from what she could see or remember, she like jotted down a picture of what they looked like and brought it into class and got laughed at. And so she kind of spent her entire life trying to find, you know, evidence of alien life forms, and she kind of became obsessed by it. And I was afraid that she was going to do something like bad to the aliens, but I mean, she really just wanted to see them mm-hmm. and like prove people wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so her little reunion with the parents at the end was really cute too. And all yeah. the alien chasers coming to town were really funny, like taking pictures and their yeah. their Dalek costumes and yeah, doctor costumes were so funny.
I know. Yeah. The British yeah. love their Doctor Who.
They sure do.
They sure do. They're really obsessed with it.
But the music was pretty hopping in this
oh,
in
yeah.
this movie.
A lot of pop
like
music.
It was some
yeah.
Yeah, some very upbeat like music. I was like, "Damn, Shaun the Sheep. I was yeah. not expecting this."
Just really creative scenarios like you were explaining with the sheep, with the alien, with the farmer just like wanting to build this Farmageddon theme park. To make money so he could buy a new tractor. Just like all of the creativity and the hilarity, I think, and just the physical comedy that they've made with these little models is really, really impressive. And just like with grunts and physical movement and stuff, and just like kind of that traditional animation, I think I see why it was nominated, because it definitely is really impressive. And just like the team of people working on this, you know that they love these characters, and you can tell that they really love exploring the funny things you can do with all sorts of the parts of the characters, like the sheep that's got a lot of, you know, the big round circle sheep, you know, they like hide things
Yeah,
inside of it and
things get
stuff.
stuck in the sheep, or like
You
if they pull
know?
a hair dryer out of him. Yeah,
Yeah.
very slapstick, and
Yeah.
that's always fun to watch. And yeah, really, really creative. And again, love claymation, even in this more like simple form, and even the more like complex forms, like the Laika Studios likes to do. Always love claymation. Or stop motion animation, stuff like that. It's one of my favorite forms of animation.
I really love that we've got studios like this and studios like Laika producing this kind of other animation as well, like the stop motion claymation animation, just because it's always going to have a place, and people who really appreciate it enjoy it. So that's where I feel like we should just keep supporting these other kinds of, like, you know, alternative animation that was actually the original animation. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like
Yeah.
to supporting that, I feel a little bit more, I feel better about it, you know, and especially for us watching these three movies that aren't the Disney ones, you know, like we all know that
Yeah.
Disney is really good, but I feel like sometimes they just don't, I mean, there's a lot more restrictions, I feel, with Disney movies than like some with other ones, you know, so.
Oh, like maybe in the content they can show, or I don't know, whatever, or just the directions they go. I mean, yeah, I mean, sure. I guess like Disney's such a big name, and they really kind of have a reputation for themselves that I can definitely see them limiting their options, and kind of giving the more edgier storylines to other art to other production studios. Like one of the best animated movies of all time will probably be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
Like, just
Sony.
yeah, Sony doing some really good, like gritty, like adult, more adult types of storylines, which I thoroughly enjoy. But also enjoy movies like this too. I really enjoyed the Shaun the Sheep movie
Yeah,
a
it
lot.
definitely was a lot more kid oriented too. I mean, it's a lot more
For
kid
sure.
humor for sure, but it's also very appreciative for adults, definitely. But it's enjoyable for kids too, and I think that's what makes the Shaun the Sheep character a very like likable and like well-known character in England, probably, is because it's just like he's really cute, he's really quirky, adults like him and kids like him too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see.
Let's look at these plot
I'm gonna
keywords.
look at some trivia here just while you look at the plot keywords.
Right, so we got sheep, theme park, robot, sequel, and combine harvester. Combine? Combine? Combine. Harvester. Don't know why I had to read that like four
I don't know,
times.
you really did.
I didn't know how to read it.
So these trivia, I mean, everybody should just go check this out for themselves. The trivia is filled with Easter eggs, okay? Like, unsurprisingly, you know, every other alien associated movie and TV show is pretty much referenced in this movie. Like, it says there's a clever homage to the movie Arrival, which I love. In the barn scene with the discarded pizza box, it shows a grease stain matching the hieroglyphics from that movie.
I didn't even see that.
Literally, like, did not even see that. We talked about the Doctor Who stuff, you know, it's talking about H.G.
Yeah.
Wells and having like an HG wheels of like
Oh yeah, I
garage.
saw that.
Like,
Rocky the Rooster from Aardman's film Chicken Run makes a brief non-speaking cameo in one scene. He's standing on a wall holding a coffee mug, which he drops with his name on it. Which I thought one of the roosters looked like Rocky. I was like, oh, that kind of looks like the guy from Chicken Run.
Did you see the dog holding a mug that said, no, the rooster was holding the mug, excuse me. Yeah, the mug
Oh yeah,
said,
what did it say? Yeah, I saw some funny
it was
like
really funny.
mugs.
It was nice pecs, I think is what it said.
Yeah, and there was one before that was pretty funny too. Oh my god, I can't remember what it was. And then I think the dog even had a funny one too.
Yeah, they're great. There's just like a lot of stuff. I'm glad that they're I love alien films and things like that too, so definitely I like things that pay homage to other stuff, and that's this entire movie. So
Yeah, exactly. This one's kind of cute. The way Lulu tells its parents what happened mimics how C-3PO tells their story to the Ewoks in Star Wars Episode 5, Return of the Jedi. Or no, sorry, 6, Return of the Jedi.
oh my god, that's great. Okay.
Cute.
This got a 79 Metascore. The only one on here that's kind of like mixed review is Slash Film. They just said it's good thing that this movie exists. It's not quite up to snuff. They think it's dated and it's old.
Dated.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think because of it can be enjoyable even if it's like something that's just like playing on the past 2 decades or whatever previously of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it did get a 100 by the Telegraph. Why are they so relentlessly endearing and funny? Comic timing is a big part of it. Every skit and pratfall is staged to split second perfection.
Okay. I like that. Let's see. I'm trying to the observer from the UK gave an 80 and said, "It's an absolute joy."
Thank you, Wendy.
Trying to see. Trying to see if there's one that I kind of liked. This one's interesting. The Guardian gave it an 80 as well. A little of the personality has been lost in adapting Shaun's world for sci-fi. The Wallace and Gromit movie Curse of the Were-Rabbit pulled off horror with a little more finesse. It's a minor quibble. Shaun is by no means past his prime. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe to some it was more of a miss, but still kind of, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. So last
Let's move on
movie.
over to Over the Moon.
Yes, I watched this one first out of these three, and I'm glad I did because it was very emotional, so I got it out of the way.
Yes, it was I watched it in the middle. So I think I watched Wolfwalkers, then Over the Moon, then Shaun the Sheep.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what was
which I think was a good pattern as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie was pretty emotional.
It was. I don't know what was going on with me when I was watching this movie, but it took me like a day to watch it. I had to keep pausing it and doing other things and coming back to it, but every time I would come back to it, I would just like start crying again. Like I started watching this movie and just initially I was crying because it was so beautiful, and then the mom died, and then I was crying because the mom died. And then I was like, okay, it's fine. Then I started crying because I thought that it was beautiful again. And then I cried at the end because everything was happy and beautiful again. I mean, I just don't I, it was very like intense for me over here. And I just don't know why.
I wanna call this movie like a chaotic emotional sandwich.
Yeah,
Like
that's what it is. Yeah.
it was like emotional in the beginning, and yeah, the animation was beautiful in this. Like it was super realistic. It's like that very like, you know, I mean, I don't want to compare everything to Disney because I don't think Disney should like own the, you know, the 3D realistic like type of stuff because, you know, anyone can do it. But like,
Yeah.
you know, it kind of gave me, you know, that Tangled, Frozen, you know, very like big-eyed
It's because
kind of art
Glenn
style.
Keane made this movie as well as Tangled and many other Disney animated movies. So that's why it kind of looks like the same.
I see. I see now. Okay.
He's an animator, so.
But yeah, so the very emotional beginning, very very sweet, sad, emotional, and then like just pure chaos
Oh yeah,
in
100%.
the middle.
It
Just
went, you're
100%.
so right. Sandwich with chaos.
It went to 1,000 very quickly, and then back to a very cute, like emotional, like kind of tying it all in. This I'm kind of at
So
odds with this movie. I don't
yeah.
really know if I liked it. I'm kind of leaning towards more I didn't like it as much as I really wanted to,
Yeah.
because like the beginning was very strong. Like
Yes.
I was very tied to these characters. You know,
Yeah.
I loved what's her name? Fei Fei. I love
Fei
Fei
Fei,
Fei. I
yeah.
loved her father. Like I love this family they were giving us. And then, you know, and I love the message at the end, you know, being happy for your dad who like, you know, wants to move on and, you know, stop holding on to the past. I mean, hold on to it, obviously. Like, don't forget who your mother was and that you loved her and like the love that was there, but like you need to bring in new people. Like you need to learn to love other people. That was a great message, but just pure chaos. It's just chaos.
I
It
think
really, it lost me. It lost me in the
it,
middle. I
yeah.
was like, what happened
Where
here?
is going on? I think the reason it was so weird was because the animation, the style looked really different in the whole moon area than it did on Earth, which, you know, it's an alien or it's like out in space. It's supposed to be different, but it just didn't have like any. It didn't have any inkling of being a Chinese influenced moon area. It was just generally blobs of color and like not
Very bright.
very, very, very
Very
bright.
bright and things that looked like other things, like you know, the mooncake things and the frog
The
things and the
animals.
weird lizard slug thing, like the chicken aliens.
That looked like the They looked exactly like the
Angry
like
Birds.
Gangry Birds. Yes, exactly. They looked
Looked like Angry
exactly like
Birds.
Angry Birds. I was like, why did you make
Looked
them
like
look
Angry
exact?
Birds, dude.
And there's a movie. There's an Angry Birds movie like that. They look just like that. You know?
Completely,
Yeah.
completely.
Totally.
Like, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I really liked and even the Moon Queen, Chung-Ae,
Oh
like, you
yeah,
know,
she
like she had a
was,
really cool song. Like I kind of liked the diva kind of like start to her. I enjoyed that song. It slapped.
It slapped. Oh my God, I
It
was
slapped.
dancing. I was sitting here just like
It was a good
fucking
song.
dance. I was like moving. Oh my God, I was
Yeah,
freaking
dude.
like it totally slapped, and I was like, "This is the best part of the movie." Like it's good, but it was just so much fun, and it was so out of place because it was just so like it was like China pop songs, and it was sung by Philippa Soo. She was voiced by Philippa
Yes.
Soo, and I was like,
I
"Oh my
saw
God."
that. I was like, okay. I was like, this lady either has to be a musical artist or she just has to be a really good singer. And then I saw the name. I was like, okay, I was like, sure. Yep.
Yep,
That's how.
yeah, that
Yep.
makes a lot of
That.
sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That fucking song, oh my
Makes a lot of sense.
God.
'Cause yeah, she was a great singer. That
Yeah.
song was really awesome.
Yeah.
And I had kind of come to terms about how the moon was gonna be by the time we got to that part. So I was like, all right, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Like, it was very jarring. Like
I know.
the second they like she got into her rocket ship and you know Chin was in the ship with her and she's like, I didn't account for your weight, and then they get like stuck
Yeah.
in the tractor beam, and then those two like lion flying things come and get them.
Beautiful.
I'm
Yeah.
like, what?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was weird because there was like not any kind of there wasn't any inkling that there was magic in the real world. And
No,
so it kind of didn't
no.
like it was kind of clear that this was an adventure that she was going on that maybe wasn't actually the way
Didn't
that it
happen.
yeah like it kind of was like in her head or something, you know, like that
Maybe,
would make a
yeah,
lot of
because it was
sense.
very
It
disconnected.
was
Like it felt so disconnected.
you know, almost like when
Oh,
you know.
the other part that was pretty funny was the ping pong. Was the ping pong part?
Oh my God, the song and the kid. Yeah, like the
Yes, or Chin.
lady, they were playing that song, and I was like, what is going, why are we watching this?
Just like, what is happening? And then the rabbit and the other rabbit, kind of having a thing. And I was like, what? Like, I was like, what in the Alice in Wonderland is happening here?
I know. It was, I think, like, I would have been more satisfied with the idea that the moon and this, like, you know, Chinese goddess was, like, influenced her surroundings on the moon to look more like, you know, ancient China or something. Like, it would have made more sense. It would have, like, made more sense if things were, like, kind of influenced by where she came from. But this was just, like, utter, like, chaos. It was like, what is happening?
Yeah, because it was, like, a Chinese, fable, like, folklore, basically.
Yeah, and, totally. And,
then
great.
Just to get up there and have it look like the chaotic spirit world of Legend of Korra.
Yeah.
Like, this or is Soul. Not what I wanted.
It kind of reminded me of Soul, too, because, like, it was, like, really, really bright. Oh, okay. And it was, like, all blobs, you know? And,
yes. Lots of blobs.
It was very, and it was very Mario-esque. I felt like it was really, like, it felt like we were on a Mario world, like from Super Mario Odyssey or something. The beginning and the end was really good. The middle was, like, fine. It's like there were two different
movies.
The
middle was fine. Probably more towards the end when they were able to find the piece, the gift that she was looking for. And she, you know, reunites with a Huyi, I think it was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then he has to go, and then they both kind of learn that, you know, they need to learn to let go, like, keep the love, know that the love was there, but let go and kind of move on. Like, they both kind of learn together. I like that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then taking it back town with them and with the whole family. I love the scenes where, oh my God, I love the scenes where they were all cooking and then sitting down at the table and just, like, being a cute little family.
Yeah. It was really, really cute.
I love when animated movies just, like, put food in it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't
Coco?
Know.
Oh my God. It really reminded me of Coco a lot as well, because Coco's kind of sandwiched with the real world too. With the, like, whole bulk of the movie being this, like, alternative, like, kind of spirit world. That kind of felt like that as well. So, you know, but I felt like the emotions really were stemmed from just the really, really brilliant animation of the characters. I thought that the design of Feifei and her brother and her father and the new woman, just like so, it was so brilliant. It really did remind me of Coco because of that, because it was just like so much emotion on these people's faces, and it was just like really, really well done. The character design was excellent. I loved it. I thought it was really, really cute.
Yeah, it was very cute. It was very funny. I really liked Chin. And even like the chemistry between Feifei and Chin.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good. It was very chaotic, and that kind of put me off a little bit.
Yeah.
But I still thought it was enjoyable.
And the I didn't really like the character of the green alien dog thing.
It felt like he was kind of pulling like an Olaf.
But he appeared, like, so late in the movie. Like, he was, like...
Yeah.
Definitely more than halfway through the movie was he, like, introduced. So I thought that was odd, because he didn't have, like, a place until he was needed to, like, have Feifei realize things. But, like, she...
Yeah, The fact that they felt like she needed a counterpart, because, you know, the rabbit was doing the rabbit stuff, and then Chin was doing the ping pong stuff. Like, I don't know, maybe Chin could have been there with her, and this is where they maybe could have gotten, because like she was kind of connecting to Chin with this green thing.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't Chin have just been with her?
I know. I was like, why can't you just bring Chin with, like, that would solve the problem. Like, Chin did nothing. Like, he just...
Yeah, because, yeah, they see the frogs, and she's like, oh, leapfrog, I know how to do this. And then even at the end, the green thing's like, oh, so you learned all these things because of your soon-to-be brother, Chin? And I'm like, why? Why was it this was necessary?
Yeah, it was odd.
It wasn't. It was not.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know what Audrey Wells, if she had written this whole thing to be like this, because it also says there's two other writers, Jennifer Yee McDivitt and Alice Wu. So I feel like maybe they took over after Audrey Wells passed away to like finish it and like make sure it was like all good for animation, because oh my gosh, like just like the emotions at the end of this, that like it when it said in memory of Audrey Wells, and just like the fact that she wrote, like I looked it up immediately, and that she had written this movie for her daughter, like she, when she knew that she was dying of cancer, and so she had written it just like as her last movie. And she had made other movies like Under the Tuscan Sun, and I really love that movie. That movie like got me through like a really emotional part of my life, like when my cat died. That was like what the first movie.
I've never seen that movie. Yeah. I always wanted to see it.
I went like home like the next day afterwards, like after I had to put her down, and I like was so depressed, and I just kind of laid in bed and watched that movie, and it like, it was very cathartic. It's a good movie. Yeah, but so anyway, yeah, that's why I was like so emotional at the end of it, and I was like, oh, this is, you know, this is really great that she wrote this movie for her daughter, and that it got made, and her daughter can see herself like in Fei Fei too.
Yeah, that's really cute.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it a lot more special.
It really does. And I like it. I liked that it was, you know, I didn't actually watch Raya, so I don't know what, like, what it compares to Raya, because that's also another Chinese American movie.
Yeah, I had watched Raya. It was cute. It was really good. It had some very like chaotic like humor in it, which really it worked. It somehow it worked. Like there's some weird stuff that happens in that movie, but it kind of works. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. I would definitely recommend watching it. Maybe once it's on Disney Plus for like for free for streaming. Not yeah, free, but you know, like you don't have to pay the premium.
Yeah.
I would definitely watch it again. If we wanted to talk about it on the podcast once it's kind of out, but yeah, I wouldn't pay for it, but I would definitely watch it once it's like not on premium or premiere access or whatever. All right. Any lasting thoughts on Over the Moon?
No, I'm pretty good.
All right. Let's go down to these plot keywords. We've got girl, true love, moon, mother, daughter relationship, and goddess.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And going on to the Metascore, it got a 60 Metascore, which is good.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Let's take a look. Got a lot of mixed reviews, which I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm kind of mixed about it. But let's see. Let's go on over.
The rap says, "Over the moon wanes more than it waxes." That's
whoa!
That's funny.
that's a moon joke in there. It's about half and half, like positive and mixed. It got 10 positive reviews and 12 mixed reviews.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, 60s right there in the middle.
Yeah.
Did anyone? No one gave it like a horrible, horrible review. So that's good.
Yeah, let's, you know, most people are just saying it's like sentimental.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a fun fantasy. It's got, you know, charm and genuine warmth in there. That's kind of... Okay, I'll read the Los Angeles Times one because it's by Justin Chang. Even its most surreal flights of fancy are tethered to a ploddingly diagrammed story whose indisputable lessons, cherish the ones you love, and also make room for more of them, are driven home with dispiriting obviousness.
I mean, yeah, those were obvious, but those were the stronger points of the movie.
Yeah.
So you can't argue with that. Like, you have to just bypass the chaos in the middle and actually think about the stronger points of the movie, which were the beginning and the end.
Yeah. I think, like, I would have, I don't know, like, I kind of saw it going in a different direction, especially since she was, like, a scientist, and she was, like, making this all up and trying to figure out the math and the physics of getting to the moon. And I just felt like it was going to have more of a crutch of, like, oh, you can be a scientist. Like, you can be anything you want. And, you know, you can figure out how to do anything, you know? But that wasn't really the real, like, that wasn't what it was trying to say at all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I also thought that maybe it would cover more of her lifespan than it did, because I was like, oh, she's gonna make a rocket to the moon. I thought we were gonna, like, jump forward to her in like college, like graduating with a science, like a rocket science degree or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, and becoming an astronaut. I thought that's where we were going.
Yeah, and then it would be still, like, reality, but then she would, like, get to the moon one day and, like, you know, they would be like her getting to the moon and then just kind of seeing that there's nothing there, but still coming to, like, terms with the reality of, like, her mom's gone and this is what it is. There's nothing on the moon, but it's okay. But then that would have been too sad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that probably wouldn't have worked. Probably wouldn't have worked. Well... Let's see. I'm going to read the IndieWire. Gave it a 58. If Over the Moon launches into orbit on the strength of its specificity, much of the film is frustratingly generic for a fable so rooted in a particular sense of place, the unique traditions that come with it, and the way they help a certain little girl learn to appreciate the endearing light of her late mother's love.
Yeah.
Well. But hey, that song slapped.
That song fucking slapped.
Dude. Slapped.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it for Over the Moon, Wolf Walkers, and a Shaun the Sheep movie, Farmageddon. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. We would love to know. You can email us. You can email allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com, or you can just leave a comment on SoundCloud or Facebook. Just search All By The Popcorn. If you also want to rate and review our show, you can do that on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. We are now on Spotify, if that's where you prefer to listen to your podcasts. And we have social media. If you need notifications on future episodes that we release, we post on Twitter, which is @ByThePopcorn, and Instagram @AllByThePopcornPodcast. We also have merch, and we have a YouTube channel. Just search All By The Popcorn Podcast and subscribe to our channel.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.